Now, what I'm trying to explain is this. When the Bible uses the word spirit, it actually means that expression to mean an invisible force, an invisible motivation, an invisible energy. Now, a lot of times, this invisible force is somebody. You know, I can become the invisible man, and I carry you and I throw you. So they will say a spirit threw him. That is why a demon will be called an evil spirit. I'm trying to bring out something here. When we talk about spirits, it's not every time that it's a person. Okay? So it's a motivating force a lot of times, simply. So what happens here, what God does a lot of times, is that he just simply puts a motivating force in the hearts of the people. Do you get the point? And that is what now begins now. He doesn't have to whisper to him and say, do this, don't do that. But the general object of his heart, the general goal of his heart, is according to a particular purpose. Now that is what the Spirit of God is energizing in him. And then the man begins to do things that, you see, let me tell you something. Human beings are not, God didn't create them to be stupid. Are you getting my point? God created them to have intelligence. Therefore, if you are moving towards a goal, there are the simple decisions you take because you have sense. Do you get my point? Especially when God has energized your mind and you have a goal, which is the goal of God. Simple, you have resonated with God in the spirit, and then your very thoughts are... Now, it's difficult to now differentiate. Whether it is inspired by God or it is sanctioned by God, it becomes the same thing. Whether it came from your heart and God said, good thoughts, or God dropped it in and you began to think it, we don't know. But the issue is that God, in effect, God is placing thoughts in this man's mind. He's not as if he saw God drop it, but because his heart was for the house of the Lord, are you getting my point? Because his heart was for Jerusalem, simply every thought he was thinking, all right, was in agreement with what God wanted to do. Do you follow my point? That is, most of the reasons why we can't know the will of God is because we are not chasing the same goal as God is chasing. Where God is heading for, you don't know, you don't care. Are you following my point? Therefore, you pray every time. God, what is your will? God says, you don't understand. I can't even tell you. You know, the other day, the Lord, the good Lord woke me up one night, all right, just like Nehemiah here, put it upon my heart to go and listen to instruction. One of the things I studied that night was the matter of faith. In fact, that was the only thing I studied, but one of the things I learned from it is this. I realized that, do you know that if you are not really going for something, anything at all, God can't really call you. Let me explain what I say. Before God could call Abraham, God looked out, and you know what Abraham and the people like him that time were running for? They were looking for posterity. They were looking for a name. They wanted an inheritance on the earth for their descendants. I don't know whether you get my point. Therefore, God came to Abraham and said, come, walk with me, and I will make your name great. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. That is, the contemporaries of Abraham would have been gathering money, for example, to build the towers of Babel. And I can prove that. The pharaohs, can you see what they all did? They built pyramids for themselves. Go and read the story of the Tower of Babel. Let us make a name for ourselves. What the people were looking for was a name for themselves. So God said, Abraham, everybody are looking for something. So he walked up to Abraham, gauged everything, and said, this guy is a good man. I know his discipline. For example, we can easily see his faithfulness to his wife. I mean, all of us are witnesses of that. She did not bear him a child for a long time. The man did nothing about it. So maybe men those days were not adulterers. When he went somewhere, did they not collect his wife? There were people committing adultery that day. You think it is now? Do you get my point? So it was remarkable the kind of person that Abraham was. But God said, this guy is looking for something. Therefore, based on that, he gave him a promise. He said, come, leave your father's house where you thought you have an inheritance. Walk with me and I will give you an inheritance. When God said, I'm thy exceeding great reward, he said, God, you have to explain the principle behind this because I don't understand. What will you give me? I'm childless. I don't know whether you get my point. You said you will give me a name. How you go take manage? Because the basic one that we all know, you have not even done anything about it. And Abraham wasn't asking, wasn't quarreling, wanted to know. What will you give me? Seeing that you must have another method apart from childbearing to do this thing. And God said, don't worry. Sarah will indeed bear you a child. I'm explaining something. If you're not, like Miles Monroe said, going anywhere in life, any road will take you there. Do you get my point? That is, this is what we are trying to say. That each person must have a passion for living. You're following the point I'm making? And in Nehemiah's case, the issue was that he heard about the house. Now, before he heard about that, he asked questions. Even when he was not praying about it, you will know that at the bottom part of his heart, there was a love for Jerusalem that was there. So every time he heard people had come from there, he would ask questions. How are they doing? What am I explaining? Because of that, the Spirit of God could now begin to lay thoughts in his mind. What I'm saying, is it clear to you here? That is a Christian that wants to know the will of God. Oswald Chambers said, to ask God what is your will, it shows that you are not walking yet in the will of God. He said, because to the child of God, the will of God should be as natural as breathing. He said, only the sick man knows what health is. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. There's only a man who is sick that understands what health is. If you have never been sick, you don't know what it means to be healthy. You are just healthy. If you've never had difficulty breathing, you won't understand what it means to breathe freely. You are getting my point? It was saying in the same manner, except you are walking out of the will of God, you will not have come to pray what is the will of God. I don't know whether you are following the point I'm making. That is, it is because men walk habitually out of the will of God that knowing the will of God makes sense to them. That is why some of the things we preach today about knowing the will of God, knowing the will of God, people like Peter never preached it. People like Paul never preached it. You ask Paul, what is the will of God? He says sanctification. Make sure you don't commit sin. Make sure you don't cheat. Make sure you don't defraud people. So that is the will of God. As far as he was concerned, once you have done that, every other part of your life breathes the will of God naturally. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make here? So I'm emphasizing the issue of Nehemiah's life. So look at it again. Which verse were we reading just now? Verse 12. It said, I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. The point he's making here is this. I made up my mind what I was going to do for Jerusalem. And I am telling you, it was God that put those thoughts in my mind. What gave him that kind of confidence? And what is the lesson we are learning from it? The man was desiring the peace of Jerusalem. Are you getting my point? He was going to prosper in whatever he was doing because he loved Jerusalem. Are you following the point I'm making? He was praying for the prosperity that would be within Jerusalem's palaces. And every time he's given an opportunity to make a request, first thing he did was to commit his ways into the hands of the Lord. And after that, he did as occasion served him. Do you understand the point I'm making here? Listen, the will of God is very simple. I said this so much that those who have heard me a lot of time will think it's a joke, but it's really the truth. They said, how did you know who you were going to marry? I said, did God speak to you about your wife? I said, he did. I said, what did he say? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. I said, that was the will of God expressed. What do you mean? I'll tell you what I meant. Before then, I had things in my mind, which now I know better, all right? That they were right. I'm even sure another time when I say, I had a goal in mind, and God is my witness. In fact, one sister asked me once, he said, what exactly are you looking for in a wife? And I told her three things. And she said, I asked you the same question 2 years ago, and those were the exact things you told me. I just said simply, I said, listen, one, I don't want a Christian, my Christian, we go to church, no. I said, I want somebody who loves the Lord. Look, do you know there's a big difference between somebody who loves the Lord and just a Christian? I mean somebody who does what? Really loves the Lord. When I start hearing Christians say, I can't marry from this area, you're a Muslim. As far as I'm concerned, you're what? You're a Guru Maharaj follower. I don't know this one you're saying. You don't love the Lord. You don't what? You don't love the Lord. Because Jesus said it like this, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. If it's out of ignorance, we pardon you for a while and then we'll present to you doctrine. And if you cannot subject your mindset to the doctrines of God, you don't love the Lord. That one, there's no begging about it. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Now, I personally had issues in my mind about my life, you know, how I was going to be. So basically, I believe that what you are seeing me do now, I believe that I will do it. I've been preaching before then, although in small levels on campus and all that. I said, therefore, any woman who does not believe I can teach, you know I'm a teacher. You've sat down here, you had the other place you'll have gone on Saturday, but you decided to come here and sit down and listen to me. It must be because you believe that I'm a teacher and I can teach. Abby? How will it be that the only person here that thinks I'm fooling myself is the wife I married? He said, look at him just talking there. He's a liar. He's a fake preacher. Do you understand my point? So for me, it was crucial and critical that my wife believed that I could teach. I'm not saying that just loving the Lord now, but you must believe that this one is a man of God. And I look, it was not negotiable. If I share revelation with you and you do my, I won't come back. Look, I won't even greet you tomorrow when I see you, lest I be converted back to greeting you. I will take another direction. Now, what am I trying to say here? I know what I'm saying. It's basic truth. Because, let me give you an example. If you are somebody that God has called and you want to build a great industry, for example, and we said, in our Monday teachings, we said that it is evening and morning. And that's one season of God, a day. Therefore, your life will start in what? Evening. Your season will start in the evening. Evening is when you are thinking of a $1 billion company. The company right now is worth only about the size of your pocket, whatever you have in there. You get my point. Not much. And you're thinking of a $1 billion company. Listen, don't marry a woman who does not think you are smart. You don't get what I'm trying to say. Let me explain by that. Look, the Bible says it very clearly. It is better not to marry at all than to have a contentious wife. You understand what I'm saying? So if you now have... No, let me give you this as an example. There was one movie I saw a few days ago. I don't even know how it came to my house, but it says it's based on a true story. So I like things like that. It was acted by Will Smith. What's the name of the movie now? The Pursuit of Happiness. So I was watching the movie. Believe me, it moved me to tears periodically. Do you get my point? At the end, they gave the name of the person it really happened to. And a few years ago, he sold a part of the business he now founded for a few million, for some millions of the US dollars. That is, the man was a multi-millionaire. That's how they were writing his story. But if you saw hardship this man went through, he had a wife, he had a son. He said he knew his father for the first time when he was 20-something, or 30-something. Therefore, he swore that that would never happen to his son. So whatever trouble they had, he made sure his son was okay. When his wife left one day and took the boy, the guy chased her down to get the boy back. Because for him, no, you can't do this to this boy. Somebody did to me before, and I don't think it is right. Now, this guy's, oh God, you know what they call suffering? He suffered with a capital S, all right? In fact, he suffered well. He was sleeping in mission houses, which he had to get in line to get there on time to get a bed. And his son said, why don't we just leave our things here? He said, boy, you don't get the point. We may not get this same room when we come back tomorrow. So when he's going to work, he has a suitcase that he's dragging along. Now, why am I telling you? Go and watch the movie. It's a good movie. But this is the interesting part. His wife left him in the midst of his suffering. Listen to me. She can explain all she wants, but that's wickedness. Let me say this to you. If you want to marry, please take Pastor Banky's advice. If they give you any vow written by an American, drop it. I don't care how anointed he is. You know the marriage vow you should take? Let me tell you. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I have not seen any revelation of marriage that's stronger than that. I have seen all these Father God, pardon me to use bad language. I have seen all this nonsense and rotten faith vows. Together we stand against sickness. Well, no, we reject sickness, we reject sickness. Together against poverty, nonsense. The vow is even though we went into the depths of poverty, we wouldn't break it. That is what the covenant is. All these convenient ones. Because, you see, gospel is not American. Your civilization cannot make the word of God of no effect. Look, I'm not trying to judge anybody. But the fact is that what you are doing is wrong. Don't let's make it like it's right. Half of the pastors there have divorces. There was one famous musician the other day. Very famous. If I mention her name, all of you will be shocked. They said she'd been married 4 times. I couldn't believe it. Please, I'm not judging you. I don't know. Maybe one was a murderer. The other one, a child molester. Oh, it's good for you to leave them. But I think all of you are sicko. And please, don't write marriage vows for me. I will take my marriage vow from the Anglican church. Do you get my point? Nigerian one. Who divorced the American one? Want to ordain homosexual bishops? You're on your own. I like that one. For better, for worse. Because I read in my Bible that people overcame by faith and some died by faith. It is not ungodliness for there to be worse situations in faith. And before every season, there's evening. God creates one season for you today. Before he creates next one, you go into an evening before morning. So there must be what? For better, for worse. Sometimes people fall sick. Paul said that the first time I preached the gospel to you, it was because I was sick and I needed rest. You know, we have tried to read around that thing. I'll tell you what it means. It means the guy was sick. He said, you haven't heard? Epaphroditus was so sick. He almost died. I had to ask God for mercy. He said, do you know why he felt sick? He was working so hard he wouldn't rest. Because of his love for you. He said, all of you, thank God for me. The guy's alive now. He said, I would have had sorrow upon sorrow. Why should his wife divorce him at that point in time when even Paul was not ready to divorce him? Are you getting my point? No? Those days when I was feeling like a big young man, you know, like, I'm not a boy anymore, you know, I'm a man now. So I used to tell myself that. When they say, are you going home? I said, I'm not going home. I'm going to visit my parents. This is home. That is the little kibbutz I was staying in Lutz. I said, this is home. I'm going to visit my parents. Until one day I had revelation. I said, if you were sick unto death now, you had leukemia, you had cancer, you had AIDS, whatever, where would they carry you to? So after that, I said, are you going home? I said, yes, I'm going home. I'm going home to see my father. I realized that is really home. Then after I got married, do you get my point? I realized that if that happened, nobody's taking me until they talk to my wife. So wherever my wife and now live, it is what? Home. Listen, if you want to ask yourself, where is home? Say, where if I fall sick and I'm about to die, where would they carry me to? That is home. Do you follow my point? Who will receive me and will not despise me? The bond of marriage is supposed to be stronger than that of you and your parents. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And whatever God has joined together, let no man even attempt to put asunder, or woe betide him. I added that one to it. What am I trying to say? So nobody should come and give me any funny explanation of, you know, if you feel like you and your wife are not going in the same direction, you know, it is all right to divorce your wife. 20 years after you believe that doctrine, you will divorce your wife. I'm not cursing you. I'm telling you. It is what will happen. It is unto you according to your faith. Are you following what I'm going to say? Many men who have preached those 40 doctrines, I have watched their marriages. First, there is the word. These people believed the wrong thing. The thing that they believe has become flesh. My friend, watch what you believe. Don't let any American write any rubbish doctrine for you. Vow. He said, from now, we become one. I marry you. I agree in this union of today. Listen, he said, what is all of this? I say, do you have a problem with better for worse? If she says yes, clear. Now, how did I get there? I was saying something about entrepreneurs. That in life, there is first what? First was evening. So in that movie, that lady left this guy because of poverty. And the guy forged on doggedly. Until God had mercy. Because that's it. It has to be the mercy of God. God had mercy upon his efforts and he began to do well. Why did she go away? No hope. She saw it. There was a problem. We're not coming out of it. That's why I said, if a young woman is always whining and grumbling about what you are doing, don't marry her. There's, you see, you don't get the point. It is not, she's not wicked. Neither are you wicked. She just doesn't have your vision. That's all. Because if you and somebody are going somewhere, the same place, you know, you don't have much of a problem. You have taken public transport where the person beside you is sleeping and nodding head on your shoulder. Do you come down? You don't come down now because you are going somewhere. You don't come down. You can cry with the driver. Why is this your window not working? Do you come down? You don't come down. You have paid your fare. You are going somewhere. And where you are going must be gone to. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all the inconveniences of the road, you will stay there. It is because you can't see the same thing. That's why you're always quarreling. Otherwise, you will have sat down together and mashed out plans together. Do you get my point? I ain't going to be praying, eh? What is the will of God? What is the will of God? After all this is settled, any woman you like that agrees to marry you is the will of God. You say, Pastor Banky, you are very carnal. Look, better follow my example. I have, in my carnality, I have prospered marriage-wise. do you get what I'm saying? I know. Are you following what I'm going to say? Better follow my example, though. It is the example of Nehemiah, the example of God. If the woman is praying about Jerusalem, and Nehemiah is praying about Jerusalem, and two of them are expecting the walls and crying over, what stopped thee from being baptized, seeing that thou art in the midst of many waters? Amen. You are a great entrepreneur, and you love the country. And you say, a woman says, no, me, I can't leave this country, all these potholes on this road. Never look at the last week now. This is my skin. Heat rash. Nah, I beg, run. Because you cannot prosper properly with a woman waiting for you like this at the door when you are coming back home. I've told you, my father said, I never suffered like this. So I don't understand this kind of thing. What's all of this one? I don't understand. Why have they not paid you now? Meanwhile, she should have come home. Because this is what I do. When I'm angry, I'm just going home. When I'm tired, I'm just going home. Are you following my point? When I'm hungry, I'm going home. When I'm angry, I'm just going home. I don't expect to get home and somebody's waiting for me by the door. Say, welcome. Are they now paid? Because if they don't pay, you are not entering hell. I expect that when I have not been paid, I'm going home. I don't know what I get my point. When I get there, I say, baby, come. Do you know those guys have not paid? She will say, Satan, I reject you. Bring your hand, let us pray. Father God, all these people that will not pay, in Jesus' name, punish them. Then you know you have a wife with you. Are you getting the point I'm making? And look, because there's a goal. Are you following what I'm going to say? Together, you are building something great. You know, I like TBN. You know that funny woman with her plenty of pink hair. The only one I know that has that size of head and pink hair. You know, Jan Crouch. Look, if Paul Crouch wants to quit from TBN, he's on his own. Jan Crouch is not going anywhere. That woman, a show woman. You know, that's a grandmother. When you see her eyelashes, those things are as long. I see the pink. One day, Paul Crouch was joking. He said that, Jan is supposed to be here with us, but I think the hair has not yet dried. Everybody laughed. Even he knows that his wife, the woman, a show woman. So that TV, they must do her. That was the perfect wife for Paul Crouch. Perfect wife for Paul Crouch. And you hear her testify of when they had deep crisis in TBN, but they refused to let the network go. That is what the Bible calls the wife of thy youth. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. I'm explaining about the will of God in the sanctified heart. I always say those days when I gave my, what do you want in a woman? Those are the things I wanted. She must believe that I can teach. And before people started gathering to listen to me like this, my wife gathered alone and listened to me. Look, I shared revelation with her. One day I said, who has been the greatest influence in your life? You know, the word of God wise. She thought for a while and said, I guess it is you. She thought for a while. Bought me a book once and wrote on it to my mentor and teacher. Aha. I said, the word has become flesh. If this, look, you don't understand? God, Bible said God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. T.D. Jakes said that from today, he can reach into yesterday and manipulate things. That is, if after I believed that thing, God rewound time, looked for her father, made sure he married her mother and produced that, I have to marry this one. This was to me according to what? My faith. Please, you are getting the point I'm making? That is, if we sanctify our thoughts. Oh, I didn't get to the other part of it today. Because as a Christian, therefore, what should be your thoughts? What should be the thing that's driving you in life? Because once your attitude in life is sanctified, listen to me, Paul said, the will of God has been done. That is it, the will of God. After that, thoughts will come to your mind, and you say, God laid this upon my heart to do, and you are not lying. You see, there was a woman said, God laid upon his heart, and it did not work. Have you never heard that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted? See, it was God that led him, and Satan now made him there. It doesn't matter. It didn't work. It's one of those your learning periods in life. God led you to learn that lesson. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, you understand that you're working in the purpose of God. You are trying to do what God has said every believer should be doing, and specifically what you should be doing. Every mistake along the line is a lesson. Every success is a blessing. Whichever way, we keep on going. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. Look, Nehemiah said, this was what God had laid in my heart to do. Next week, I'll take up from there about what a Christian should really have as a passion. Because he said, love Jerusalem. What is our own practical Jerusalem? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Basically, we are to be, he said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I say this all the time. God created everybody to impact his generation. Like we've been teaching on radio, there is a gift with which God said you will impact your generation. Are you getting my point? So your dream, therefore, is serving the purpose of God. Because you see, God's own is to serve my purpose. He said, David, having served the purpose of God in his generation, he slept. So the issue is, what is the purpose of God in this generation? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, said that God, down to 10, 11, he said, God has called us to show forth his excellencies. That there is a day of visitation coming. God wants to show that this is the right way to do things. Do you get my point? There's a website I visited some time ago. The name is something like International Christian Chambers of Commerce, something like that. Their mission, their guiding statement is business as a mission. I don't know whether you follow that point. That is, the way a missionary goes to new places to go and preach, the way Pastor Banky starts teaching and teaching to get people to understand the sanctifying truth of God's word, in the same manner, they are doing business to establish the kingdom of God and further the prosperity of the word of God on this earth. That's why I said that a businessman can do business, not because he wants to get money, but he said this business must be done. And once it is done, even if he doesn't make money, he's satisfied. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Is it that the guy will just be wasting money? No, he's not wasting money. Business is not wasting of money. It is the ability to create wealth. So the guy goes out to create wealth. At the end of the day, you may not give him much money personally, but he's happy. You know what it means to create wealth? To add value to life. Let me explain what I say. Look, this is true. This is reality. If you see a lot of men who are prospered financially in life, many of them, they will tell you that if you died rich, you died poorly. I'm quoting somebody verbatim. He said, if you died rich, you did what? You died poorly. So this man believe that whatever it is you do in life must be given to the whole of life. I don't know whether you get what I want to say. So one of them I read, the guy gave out aggressively so that by the time he died, he had less than $500,000. This guy had hundreds of millions. So when he finally died, they could only find less than $500,000 that was still in his possession. It was the one that said, if you died rich, you died poorly. This is what I'm trying to make. Such people will have created billions and billions and billions of value in life. Like Peter Daniels, wearing one pair of shoes and having one car. The guy is creating millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of wealth. It's a mission. So the guy starts a great company. His own is like, hey, wait, all this Nepal taking light, taking light. Those are mission fields. I hope you know. Those are mission fields. You think every mission field, is it Kumar tribe or Goma village? You know, there's one tribe those days. Say, yes, they have not heard the gospel. Let's go and preach to them. If you're a gospel preacher to strange lands, you're a Paul, go. The way you are anointed to be climbing hills and chasing after naked people to preach the gospel to them, so is somebody anointed to go and build a coal-powered power plant in Enugu so that Pastor Banky can sleep at night without going to wind generator at 2 a.m. I told you before, it is endure hardship, not enjoy hardship. I don't enjoy it. I would rather they didn't take my light. I am just saying, whether you take it or not, I won't depart from what I am doing. I have gone out at 2 a.m. to go and start generator, which I didn't, look, is by hand winding to kick this in. Because the heat was so bad. Man of God couldn't sleep. How would he have revelation to preach? So there is a mission field that somebody should do the independent power plant for Enugu. Because God is very, very, very extravagant with resources. God can build a power plant so that you and I alone, that is just two of us, should sleep in peace. You don't know that. So everybody who lives around you is just blessed for being around. That's what he means by you are the salt of the earth. God said, I know good people, I don't like them. They are not good people. He said, okay, so you know what I will do? I will plant about 5 or 10 good people scattered in their midst. So because of the 10 good people, I will give them a power plant. Then the whole of the peoples who have not yet called directly to God will enjoy power. What am I trying to say? Potholes is a mission field. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Judicial system is a mission field. Nigeria police and the criminal justice system of Nigeria is a mission field. Politics is a mission field. I'm telling you, you think you have to go to Brazil and go to the waters and be showing everybody that I'm, you know, be writing, say, now we're into missions, praise God. And you make those who are doing business look like they are kana. No, it's true. You know, Christians, we do that. If you are into missions, you are serving God. But if the man joins the customs, this brother, are you sure you are still in defeat? Because, you know, you are afraid for him. Nigeria customs is mission, is also a mission field. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
that every aspect of life, there's a mission field there. If you see what you are doing as a mission field, are you getting me? Ideas that are the perfect will of God will start coming to your heart. So you wake up one morning and say, the Lord laid in my heart to float a company, and it is not covetousness. Do you follow my point? You will wake up one morning and say, the Lord laid in my heart that we should start a home video production company. It's not covetousness. Because your goal, your purpose, is not to be rich and be flaunting wealth like everybody else, but to bring righteous truth into the homes of people. Do you know that TV is one of the most powerful things on earth? Television. It's a mission field, though, to conquer TV. Look, TBN, you know TBN? I've said that TBN is a Christian mission. Are you getting my point? Real mission field on TV is not being done by TBN. I don't see that. No. Maybe Paul Crouch has a son that's in Hollywood. Those are the people who are doing the kind of mission I'm talking about. Who do real movies. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about somebody tuning to Movie Magic. And is watching your production. That's mission. Are you getting my point? For those of you in the West, Olayinka, do you know when the Mount Zion did Agbaranla? Ultimate power. And the Ideshu, bondage. Man, when they ran that series, even Satan knew he was in trouble. No, these guys taught people the power of God. They taught people the fear of God by those movies. Even the series must have run for like 16 weeks thereabout. That people did not give their lives to Christ by that thing, you know, is a lie. I'm sure there are people who never went to church after watching Agbaranla. No, they say, I beg. Where's the nearest church here? That's the kind of mission I'm talking about. Because you have a passion for the Jerusalem of today. Are you getting my point? Because like your father, God so loved that he gave. You are a gift to your generation. Do you get what I'm saying? So you say, what is it that God has placed inside me for my generation? Therefore, I want to express it when I discover it. Every thought and idea, that comes out of your heart, they will come straight from the Spirit of God. And you will say simply like Nehemiah, the Lord lead in my heart to do this. And watch it. We're going to do that powerful, what they call creative excellence. I believe very strongly. Look, and when we get there, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about the issues of money. We'll talk about the issue of government. We'll talk about entrepreneurship and stuff like that. Those things are missions. If a man will get up, do you know Cyrus? Do you know why God anointed Cyrus and told him to go and kick out Nebuchadnezzar? He said, because I know he will make my oppressed go free. People think that God chooses people because they are children of God. You know, I'm a child of God. No, God chooses people because of what they will do with what he has given them. He said, I know Abraham, that he will instruct his children and his household. I know him. God has his reasons for choosing people. Listen, if God knows what you will do without your mission field, he will strengthen you. Listen, success and prosperity is not a mistake. It's not an accident. It is God that lifts up one and brings another. The other day I was reading a book. Let me just close with that.